We're holding on Chess Omidbey's second line from the bottom. We're in the middle of discussing the matter of rochuv manhig, when you have a proverb, or in general, rochuv, when you have a person riding on an animal, is he able to be koine with that or not? So we said that Shmuel had said that when you have a rochuv manhig, one of them is koine, one not, and Rabbi Yehuda had said, I'm not sure which is which, although he figured out logically that it would mean that that based on something else that Shmuel had said, that that a rochuv is never koina unless the animal actually moves because of him. How much more so when there's somebody else involved, a manhig. So then we were discussing all that point about whether and how it fits with our Mishnah, where you're talking about an our Mishnah that you have one person rochuv and one person manhig, and both of them are koina. And we distinguished, we said that the case of our Mishnah is talking about where the rochuv is in fact causing the animal to move by kicking it with its feet or whatever. So now the Gemara is going to continue talking about that topic. The Gemara says, Toshma, let's bring a proof from a Braisa. Now, there are two ways of understanding what the actual, what we're going to be doing over here. Is it that we're using it as a proof, or is it that we're using it as a question? So, a braisa says, Shnayim shoy moshkin bagomol or manhigin bahamur. If you have two people, were pulling a camel, or they were leading a donkey. Now, the difference is, usually, a donkey, you usually walk behind it, and you lead it, as in like you poke it with a stick or something to make it go in the direction that you want to go. A camel, you usually do mashicha, you usually walk in front of it, and you pull on the rope or whatever to make it move. In fact, way back when in Eruvin, we had a couple of cases over there where a person has an issue with his tchumen, where he has two potentially overlapping tchumim, and he's only allowed within the area that's common to both of them, and the Mishnah called him a chamor gamol. He's like a donkey driver and a camel driver. So if you think about it, if you have this kind of scenario, if you're trying to get both a donkey and a camel to go with you, since you're going to have to be pulling the camel from the front, and usually you're pushing the donkey from the back, so you're kind of stuck between them. So the Mishnayos over there in Eruvin had used the word chamo gamel to express that kind of scenario where a person is stuck between two places. So here we're talking about in terms of the halachas of Dini Mominus. So if you have two people are both pulling on a camel, they're both pulling on the rope, or they're both manig b'chamor, they're both making a donkey walk by pushing it from the back or whatever they're doing to it. Oishahoya echad moshech ve'echad manig, or one was pulling and the other one was leading. The midda zois kon. With this midda, which we'll see soon what that comes to me tonight, konu, then they're both koin of the animal. Rav Yehuda Omer, lo ulam lo konah, jikem meshicha begomol v'anhoga v'chaber. And Rav Yehuda says, they're not koina unless they're doing the way that you normally do things, which is to pull a camel or to lead the donkey. So in other words, according to the Tana Kama, it sounds like we're saying no matter what, whether you're pulling or whether you're leading either kind of animal, you're koina, and according to Rav Yehuda, it has to be the normal way. Yes. Anyway, the point is, the Braisa is saying, now the Braisa is saying, if one of them is pulling and the other one is leading, so it sounds like Moshech or Manhig Ein. So only if they're pulling or leading, only then can they be Kona. But it sounds like if they're riding, then they're not Kona, which would fit with what Shmuel says. Now, to be sure, Tosfos points out, it's not like the Braisa has to list every possible method of Kinyan. But the fact is that since, as the Gemara is going to go on to say in a few lines, conceivably, it could have combined the whole thing together. Instead of saying, or Shneim Manhigim, etc., Moshkin Begomo, Manhigim Machamor, Echon Moshek, Echon Manig, etc., it could have just said something like, whether they're both Moshek or Manig, whether a Gomo or a Chamor, and instead it says it longer than necessary, so maybe that means Davka Moshek and Manhig, not Roch. Toys just goes on to discuss some other points about it. But anyway, the point is that on the face of it, the Braise is indeed leaving out the case of Rochel, which would fit with what Shmuel is saying, that a Rochel is in fact not Kohen. So now again, there are two ways really of understanding what the Gemara is doing this over here. So according to the way Tosfos is explaining it, it's coming to prove what Shmuel had said. On the other hand, the Chochmas Manoyach brings over here another possibility is that, it's not necessary. So, another way of looking at it, it's a question on Rabbi Yehuda. Where Rabbi Yehuda to begin with had said, I'm not sure which one is Koina when he started with Shmuel's statement, Rochel Humanig, one is Koina, one is not. And we're not sure which one. How could he be unsure? And then we have to figure it out on the basis of a Mishnah in Kilayim, where Shmuel had flipped around the opinion. So the question would be, why didn't he answer it from this Braisa? And then the Chochmas Manoach's second explanation is that we said that the Gemara is Adrabe is using this as proof for what Shmuel was saying. And there were other Rishonim before the Chochmas Manoach who were going to point to that second way of looking at it as well. Anyway, the point is that, So it seems that we're saying that a Rochel was not Kohen. So the answer is the Gemara says not necessarily. Who are dinda for the Rochel? In fact, maybe even a Rochel would be Kohen. The Hodukatani, Moshe Humanig. The reason it mentions specifically the case of pulling or of leading, La Pukim, into Rabbi Yehuda is just because the Tanakhama wants to tell us that he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi Yehuda is saying you have to, with each kind of animal, use the specific method that's normal to take that animal where you want it to go, in the case of a gomel pulling, in the case of a chamur leading. So the Tanakhama just wants you to know by saying the words Shnayim Shoy Moshchen Vagomel on Pigim Vachamur or Echad Moshech Vachad Manig. The Tanakhama is just saying that I don't care, even though it's not normal, for example, to lead a camel, even though it's not normal to push a camel or to lead a donkey. Nevertheless, if you did that, it's still a valid opinion, even though Rabbi Yehuda says that not. So there's no proof from that. One way or the other, as far as Reuchel. And so then, when the Braise used the words, the first words of our Amud, the Midah Zois Konu, then Tosfos explains, according to this way of looking at it, the Midah Zu would be, in other words, that only, so it means when there's a Rochel from Koy Manhig, or some other kind of pinyon. So we said yesterday that, a Reuchel by himself can be Koyna, but when there's Reuchel from Koy Manhig, then we would say that not, because the manhig has a stronger claim unless the roichev himself makes the animal move. So therefore, so the bemidazos would be coming to exclude those kinds of cases, but not necessarily to say that a rochev can never point it. Okay, well the Gemara asks, so kamash malon. Therefore the Tanakhama is telling us that no, afilo ipcha nami koni, that even if he does it the other way around, he's still koni because the fact is he is causing the animal to move. Again, we're talking about the whole time over here where the case is they found an animal of hefker, for example, or as we said yesterday, you could have the special kind of hefker of nichse ager or something, and they start riding on it. We're not talking about when you're buying an animal from somebody that's there. It's different because then you're doing a kinyan with das acheres, and therefore then as we said yesterday, even just giving over the reins is enough to accomplish a kinyan. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Yehochi let your vinu v'lisnin. Well, if that's the case, if all the Tanakhama wants to tell us is that even a Mashiach in an unusual way is Koina, then in that case, the Mishnah, the Braisa rather, ought to have combined the two dinim. Instead, it should say, Shnayim Shavim Moshchen Manhigin, Bein Begomel Bein Machamur, two people who were pulling or leading whether a gomel or a chamur. Why instead does it use the expression moshkin begomel or manhigin bechamur, which would imply that even the Tanakhama is saying that there's a certain limitation to that. So the Braisa should have just mentioned to make it clear that all four cases that all four cases are work. Rashi is explaining the question is, if the Mishnah just wants to tell us that even when ain't darka b'kat, that even when you're doing it in a not normal way, then Ramban explains it slightly differently. If the Tanakhama just wants to tell us against what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, then Liavin. And then according to that, what would the Bemidazu doing? Again, Tosfos says it would mean some other kind of Kenyan or Rochel B'mkoy Manhig or something like that, we could say. It should say it like that. So the answer is Ikachad Sad Dalekoni. The fact is, according to the Tanakhama, there is one of those four possibilities that is not in fact Kona. According to the Yehuda, only two out of the four possibilities are Kona. Only Mashicha by a camel, not Hanhoga, and only Hanhoga by a donkey, not Mashicha. But according to the Tanakhama, three of the four methods work, but there's one of them that does not. Therefore, the Tanakhama couldn't have made a blanket statement, Shnayim Shari Moshkin Manhigan, Bein Begomel, Bein Bechamer, because that would imply that all four methods work, and the fact is there's only three of them. What is the one that doesn't work? Ika Da'amli Mashicha Bechamer. Some say that it would be pulling when it comes to a donkey. So according to that, either method would work with a camel, but with a donkey, you definitely have to be manhig from the back. The ikadamri hanhoga begamol. Others say that no, it means pushing a camel wouldn't work, but a hamur you could use either method. The idea being, in other words, because a camel is a tall animal, you're not going to be pushing it from the back necessarily. You're going to be leading it from the front, as opposed to a hamur being a shorter animal. You might conceivably do either way. So yes, even according to the Tanakhama, three out of the four methods work. One does not. Therefore, that could explain why the Tana had to say the words Shnayim Shari Moshkin Bagomol Manhigin Bachamur rather than say Moshkin Manhigin Ben Bagomol Ben Bachamur to make it clear that there is actually one of the methods that doesn't work. And then along comes Rabbi Hordan and says there are actually two of the methods that doesn't work. The point is, though, the Braisa is not necessarily really addressing, the Braisa has not mentioned Rochov at all. So again, according to looking at it from the point of view of the two explanations of the Chochmas Manoach, according to the first explanation then, the Gemara is saying that Rabbi Yehuda couldn't have brought a proof one way or the other from it, because the fact is that it's not necessarily excluding a Rochov from being Kona at all. Maybe at most, as Tosfos has said, Rochov from Koin Manig or something like that. And according to the second explanation, the Gemara is using it as proof for Shmuel. The fact that it didn't mention Rochov at all implies, like we said, that Shmuel holds that a Rochov is not Kona unless he makes the animal actually move. Okay. And the Gemara says, V'istam Moisiv Misefer. Now, there are some who Moisiv from the end of the Braisa. Now, usually the word Moisiv means to ask a question, like Maisi. But here, actually, the Gemara is using it as a... Here actually, Rishonim bring that it means that we're actually using it as Moloshin Yishuv, as we're going to show that our Braisa fits with Shmuel's saying based on the Sefer. Because we said in the Braisa, the Midah Zu Kona. In this Midah, he's Kona. My lav ma'uti, b'midah zu l'ma'uti mai. What are we excluding with the words b'midah zu? Lav ma'uti rochuv. Isn't it that we're coming to exclude the rochuv? And that would prove what Shmuel is saying. And the answer is not necessarily lo, the ma'uti ipcha. No, not necessarily. The b'midah zu may just be to say it doesn't work the other way around. If you do meshicha by a donkey or hanhoga by a camel, it wouldn't work. The b'midah zu, only in the way that was stated in the b'raisa, moshkin b'gomel, manhigin b'chamer, or one moshik, one animal, and the other one manhig, the other animal, then b'midah zois, only because they're doing it in this way, konu. Well, the Gemara says it can't mean that. Then it would come out saying that the Tanakhama is saying the same thing as Rabbi Yehuda, because both of them would be saying that you need a certain method by a gomel and no other, and a certain method by a chamur and no other. For that matter, Tosfos says the Gemara could have very well asked for, without even being medayik, just by looking at the actual words of the Braisa, where it says echad moshech ve'echad manhig, we don't have to say that moshech and manhig are talking about two different animals. We could say it means one is being moshech and the other is manhig, the same animal, and we're still saying that both of them are korna, showing that according to the Chacham, both methods work. But in any case, we can also be medayik from the Braisa, that it can't mean the Tanakhama is excluding the other possible methods, because then he'd be saying exactly the same as Rabbi Yehuda. And the answer is Ikeben Outsadech Adelaikona. Again, like we said, there would be, even the Tanakhama would agree, there would be one method that's not Kona. And again, we have the same argument as before. Istami Meshicha Bachamarvi, Istami Anhoga Bagamal. Some say it would refer to pulling a donkey, which is not a normal way of doing it. And others say it would mean leading a camel, which is not the normal, working from the back and then causing the animal to move from the back by a gomel, which wouldn't work. So again, the Braisa, so again, if we're trying to be medayik from the Midah Zu, from the Midah Zois, and say, therefore, the Braisa is excluding Roichev, not necessarily, because the Braisa instead can be excluding one of the two methods that conceivably you could use, and we're saying Rabbi Yehuda would exclude two of those methods, the Tanakhama is excluding one of them. So there's no proof from this Braisa, so if you try to work from the Sefer, there's not necessarily a proof to Shmuel. If you try to work from the Reisha, then as we said before, the Reisha might be more of a proof for him. The fact that it mentioned Moshe Chomanev and didn't even bother mentioning Rochov at all. Fine. So the Gemara says Toshma. Let's continue here. Look, here was a proof from another Braisa. Echad Rochov Chamer. If one person is riding a donkey, the echad tofus b'moseira, and the other one is holding on to the reins of the donkey, zeh kona chamer v'zeh kona moseira. So now, neither one is kona the entire thing. Again, we're talking about they didn't actually make the animal move. It's just standing there, but one of them is sitting on top of the animal, and the other one is holding the reins. So zeh kona chamer v'zeh kona moseira. The one who's sitting on the donkey is kona the donkey. And the one who's holding the reins is Kona the reins. Meaning that he can exactly that he has now a piece of rope or something that now he can use for whatever purpose he wants. But neither one is Kona the whole thing. Meaning, in other words, so neither one is Kona the whole thing. Shmamin a Rochov Koni. Well, wouldn't that prove that a Rochov is Kona? Because that's what we're saying, that the one who's sitting on the back of the donkey is Kona the donkey. Like Mara says, no, because Hachanami b'manik b'raglov. No, because here, like we learned yesterday, we could be talking about that he's not just rochu and sitting on the animal. He's actually making it move. He's kicking it with his feet and making it move. So therefore, that's why he's kohen the chamer. It's true that if he was just sitting there, he wouldn't necessarily, and so that still fits with what Rabbi Yehuda was saying in the name of Shmuel before. So the Gemara says, "Ihochi nikni nami rochov b'moseira." Well, in that case, then why is he only koning the donkey? Then he should be koning the moseira as well, because after all, Rashi explains it's like a tachshit of the donkey. It should be bottled to the donkey because it's like an ornament of the donkey. So why shouldn't he be koning? Why shouldn't he be koning that piece as well? So according to that, then it would come out that now we've shown him discuss over here that Tosfos points out that you have two different geosois over here, whether we have the word ihochi, if so, in the at this point in the Gemara. Here we have it printed in front of us in the Gemara. We have when Manig Miraglov e nami e hochi. If so, nikni nami rochel b'meisera. Then the one who's riding on the animal should also be acquiring the meisera. So Tosfos points out that actually there are two different possible gersois. With the words e hochi, it means if you say that in general rochel was koine, whether the animal is moving or not, then we understand why he's not acquiring the meisera because he didn't do any actual kinyan on it. He didn't do hadbor or mashikh on it. But if manik baraglov, then he should also be acquiring the moseira. Now further on, meaning in other words, Tosfos says like this. On Omer Beis, we're going to talk about a case which we've learned about in earlier Masechtas as well. If Reuven says to Shimon, do mashikha on this animal, and with that you'll also be koina the kalim that are on that animal. Does that work or does it not? Now here, if we're saying that if he is causing the animal to move, but he's not being koneh the Meisera, then that would imply that if he says, Meshoch behemazu, knei kelim shalel, that if he says, you cause this animal, you do Meshicha with this animal, and you'll acquire the kelim on it, if we say, if we should be able to prove from this Braisa that it doesn't work, and yet the Gemara has a discussion about it later and doesn't bring this Braisa as proof. So it depends. So there's two different ways of understanding what the Gemara's question over here. Is it, like Rashi is saying, it should be bottled to the donkey, and as soon as he's koneh the donkey, automatically he's koneh the Moisera? Or is the question that even without, that once he's causing the donkey to move, then he should be koneh, then maybe there's the possibility that he's koneh any kelim on. The Moisera is the rings. The rings, yeah. So two different ways of understanding the question of the Gemara, and it depends, as Tosfa says, whether you have the words ihochi over here in the Gemara. Ihochi would be if so. So you're saying, if you say manig baraglov, then with ihochi, it means if so, if he's manig baraglov, niknami reichad b'meisera, then he should also be acquiring the Moisera, meaning if you're going to say that he's Manig Baraglov, then why shouldn't he be also Koina the Moisera? If you take out the words Ihochi, which Rashi seems to have not have, then it would be Hochanami Manig Baraglov. Then the question is, Nikni Nami Rechiba Moisera, that a Manig Baraglov, then automatically he should be acquiring the Moisera as well, because of the Taksha. So the Gemara says, you're right, Ema, you have to fix up the Braisa and say, Zeh kona chamur v'chatzi moisera, v'zeh kona chatzi moisera. You're right, actually, the one who's riding on the donkey is actually going to be acquiring not only the donkey, but half of the moisera, and the other one is acquiring only half of the moisera. Both of them did a kinyan on the moisera, because the one is holding it. But nevertheless, that's not strong enough, unless he actually makes the animal move. Like this, the rochu is the one making the animal move by kicking it with its feet. So therefore, the most that the other one can be koneh is only half the Meisera.
So what, the other guy's also holding the Meisera?
Yeah, we're talking about the other guy is holding on to the Meisera, but he's not the one who's actually making the animal move by that. He's not pulling on it, he's just holding it. So therefore, it's the rochu who's causing the animal to move. Well, the Gemara asks, why? The Shlema rochu koneh, it's easy enough to see why the rochuv then is koneh anything, because why he's koneh half. We have to realize the Moisera over here is like a talus of our Mishnah. Zeimani mitzasiya, zeimani mitzasiya. So I can understand why the rochuv then in that case is acquiring half the Moisera, to kamag b'le bendas, because the other end is being picked up, is being picked up by a bendas, because the other one who's picking it up off the ground is koneh his part. And like we said yesterday, either we have hamagvi matzil achaveri kona chaveri, or we have migud zochir nafshe zochir nami lachaveri, as we discussed the whole discussion between Rami Bachama and Rava on that point. So therefore it works. So the one who picks it up off the ground, so here the kinyan is helping to a certain extent for him, and therefore it helps for the other one. Ela topus from Meisera, my pony. But the one who's holding on to the reins, how is he actually accomplishing the kinyan? The other half is on the head of the animal. Nobody actually picked it up. When you're picking up something from Hefter, you have to pick up the entire thing. Now here he's not picking up the entire thing because the other half is attached to the head of the animal. So how is he koneh anything at all? So that's the question.
And the other guy is on top.
The other guy's on top of the animal. So he's being koneh the animal, and we're saying along with that he acquires part of the Moisera, because either we said because the tachshit of the animal, or because we said because maybe if you're koneh an animal that's moving, then you can also be koneh kelim that are on it. The rest of it, we're saying, is not on the animal's head, so he's not acquiring it. But how is the one who's holding on to the Meisera, how is he accomplishing any kinyan at all? You could say that the one who picks it up off the ground is helping for the other one, because this could be an example of Amagbiyam Atzila Chavere Kona Chavere, as the Gemara is going to explain in another couple of lines. But how is the one who picks up the Meisera, how is he himself acquiring anything if he didn't pick up the entire thing off the ground, because the other half of it remains where it is?
The whole thing,
he has to pick up the whole thing. So the Gemara says, you're right, Ema. So we have to correct it and say, Zekona Chamor Vakula Meisera, Vezekoni Masha Tofus Biyadei. So we would say that you're right. The one who's riding the donkey actually acquires the donkey and most of the Mesera. The other one is only koina what he's actually holding. Whatever's in his hand, that he was completely magbia. So that would be the equivalent of, like we learned about the talus, where each were the part of the talus that each one is holding, and they have more of a claim to. You have in general chazaka, that anything on a person's hand is considered his. So here you'd have, I don't know if you actually have that chazaka over here because he got it from Hefker, but whatever. The point is, in other words, the part that's actually the actual part of the rope that's in his hand, that he would be koina. But the rest of it would all, the rest of it, the tackle wasn't koina because he didn't pick it up properly because the other half of it remained where it is.
The derech is cool way not to have it. I mean, the guy who's driving doesn't hold on to the reins, don't they?
That's fine. That's the derech. Nevertheless, but the fact is, the one who's holding it is not causing the animal to move. He's holding on to the reins and the animal is moving because of the other one kicking it.
Because the reins could kick.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So therefore, so the one who's riding it is accomplishing an opinion, but yeah. But the Gemara says, "Hi, Mai. What kind of a comparison or what kind of statement is that? You're saying that the one who picked up the end on the ground is not going to be koina for himself and is only going to be koina for the other one. It doesn't work. Even if you're going to say, as we learned yesterday from Rami Bar Chama, and as we're going to learn in the Gemara over Shabbos, Bez Hashem, that we're going to have a machlokas on this subject of whether Hamagdiya Metzia Lachaber, Kona Chaber, if Reuven picks up a Metzia, having in mind not that he himself should acquire it, but rather that Shimon should, then that works and Shimon acquires it, and he said it's not considered like Tofus Labal Choy, but Makam Shachab Lacherim, even if we're going to say that, that would only be where he's picking it up, having in mind that Shimon should acquire it. The fact is, when he picks up the rain that's lying on the ground, he has every intention of being koine for himself. So if he himself is not koine, because again, he's being koine from Hefter, and he should have had to pick up the entire thing, and he's not, because half of it is still on the head of the animal. So how could he be koine anything at all? He's holding it because he thought he's making a Kenyan, but the fact is he's not. So if he's not Kona himself because he didn't pick up the entire... In other words, forget a case like this. Just to have a plain case where a person finds an object of Hefker and he picks it up, but one end of it remains on the ground. He's not Kona. The fact is, if somebody else comes along, he could be Kona. So the same thing over here. You want to say because Reuven is picking up the end of the rain that's on the ground, and you're saying he himself can't be koine because he didn't make a proper kinyan, but he has the ability, being a ben das, that Shimon should be koine that part, and all he's going to have is the part that he's actually holding in his hand. But why? Even if I'm not being a tzila chaber, kona chaber, that requires that he had in mind the other one to acquire it. Here he doesn't. He wants to get it for himself. He's not getting it because he didn't do a proper kinyan. Lachrini machni. How could he be machni to somebody else? How can he be machna to Shimon who's sitting astride the animal? So it doesn't work. Omar Ravashi. So Ravashi says, you're right. What we have to say is as follows. Zeh kona chamor ubeis hager. What happens is, therefore, the one who's sitting on the donkey acquires the donkey because he's causing it to move, and also the beis hagerha, which is the part of the reins that surround the animal's head. You have when you harness an animal, you have the part of the harness, the bridle or whatever that actually surrounds the animal's head, and then you have the part that hangs free and you use it to pull the animal. So Ravashi is saying the part that the base pagera, you find, by the way, in some places in Shas, you have there was an area right near or right outside Yerushalayim called base pagi. Rashi in those places explains in a similar vein to this name over here. The same way as like the bridle is directly connected to the animal because it's surrounding the head. The same way this was like an area immediately in the outskirts of Yerushalayim. And it has, to a certain extent, it has the halachas of Yerushalayim and so forth. Anyway, so that part is considered like the donkey itself. So he's koina that. So he's koina that. The other one who picked up the reins off the ground, as we said, is koina only the part that he's actually holding. Vashar in the middle, like koina, like zeh, like zeh. Neither one of them is koina because neither one did a proper opinion on it. So even Meaning, in other words, Tosfos says, even as we're going to talk on Amud Beis about the case of Meshoich Behemo Knei Kelim Shaleha, that if one says to the other, do a Meshicha on this animal, and with that you'll be coining a Kelim on it, that would be in that case. But here, since you have over here, the one who's holding on to the Meseira is not acquiring, then the one who's riding the animal is not acquiring that part either. He's only acquiring the base Tageha, which is directly on the head of the animal, but not what sticks out beyond that. And the other one, meanwhile, didn't do a proper opinion on that either, so the rest of that rope is available for the taking for somebody else.
But if it's not moving, and it's not dragging on the floor, then it's in both of them, they couldn't, right?
No, if it starts moving, so it depends. If both of them are causing it to move, then yeah, we would say each one is accomplishing a kinyan, because each of them is accomplishing Meshicha. But then that would be the case of our Mishnah, where we said Yachloiku, where they divide the animal itself. Here we're talking about the Rochev is the only one who's koina the animal. The other one, the maximum he could be koina is the Moseira, and now we're saying in the end he's only koina part of the Moseira, the part that he actually has in his hand. Rabbi Bohu gives a different answer. And by the way, this may not be the regular Rabbi Bohu of Shas, because he's coming after Rabbi Ashi over here. There was one of the early Rabbanan Svaroi, we find mentioned in the Geddes of Shur Gaon. He's mentioned in one or two places in Shas. Remember, if Shmuel but Rabbi Bohu, this Rabbi Bohu might have been his father, which places him in the time of Rabbi Ashi. Anyway, Rabbi Bohu Amar, actually, we could say that we can leave the Braisa the way it was. We are going to say that the one who's riding on the animal acquires the entire animal, and the other one acquires the entire Meisera. We don't have to say like Rav Ashi that he's acquiring only the part that he's holding on to. In fact, he would actually be koine even the base pageha, even the part that's on the head of the animal, Rabbi Bohu says, because he could conceivably pull the thing and bring it all to him. Meaning it's true, right now he only picked up one end, and the other end remained on the head of the animal. But on the other hand, the fact is, because he's holding on to the Meseira, he'd be able to pull it, and he'd be able to pull the entire bridle towards him, and therefore that's reason enough for him to be able to be koina the entire rope, the entire contraption of it.
Why is the guy interesting an animal moving up?
So then, because the fact is, the one person lifted up one end of it, and since he would be able to grab the entire end, then therefore we consider even now as though he did. However, the Gemara says, "V'hadar Rabbohu borusi." However, this that Rabbohu is saying is borusa. Now, in some places in Shas, it uses the word bedusa with a dalid, which means a fiction. So it means, in other words, Mephoshim explained in those places, it means like someone attributed to Rabbi Bohu something that he didn't actually say. It's a fiction that he ever said such a thing. Here, the word Barusa with a resh means something outside, which Mephoshim says is more like a respectful way of saying, this is not something, this belongs outside the Beis Medrash, meaning it can't possibly be correct. So like they're not saying outright Rabbi Bohu is wrong, but they're saying like this opinion belongs outside the Beis Medrash. It's not something that we should be discussing. The fact is, it is part of Torah. I believe Yitzchak, that his father points out in some places, you know, you have the same Eivishter who gave us the Torah, and from whom Chochmos Eretzoyne, Shalakash Bohu, comes everything that we're saying over here in the Gemara, also said that this particular thing is Bedusa or Barusa, and therefore that we can't actually accept it Lahalacha. Anyway, so it's Barusa. It can't possibly be correct. The Eli Temahochi, if you're not going to say like that, if you're going to say that the fact that he picked up one end and he could be monotic the other end, and you're saying that would be a valid agbah, doesn't work. Because consider, talus shimunachas chetzi agabe karka v'chetzi agabe amud. What if you find the talus half on the ground and half on a pillar? Uvo echa v'igbiya chetzi agabe karka uvo acha v'igbiya chetzi agabe amud. And two people come along at the same time, one picks up the end that's on the ground and the other one picks up the end that's on the pillar. Hochinami, are you going to say also the kamakoni or basra lekoni, that only the one who picked up the end from the ground is koina and not the other, because the first one is able to pull the entire thing towards him, because since it's off the ground, it's easier to pull towards him. And obviously not, we never find any such distinction. When we say shnayim osim batalis, we don't distinguish whether they found it all lying on the ground or half on the ground and half on a pillar or whatever. So obviously there's no distinction. Ella, hold it, Rabbi Bohu, Barusahi, therefore, obviously, what Rabbi Bohu is saying is Barusa, meaning, in other words, that, yes, if he grabs the whole thing, then he'll be koina, but as long as he didn't, But as long as he didn't, then the fact is that then the fact is he's not koina. Tosfos actually wonders how do we know that Labohu wouldn't argue by that. But the fact is that the other Rishonim explained, the fact is we don't find the Mishnah itself doesn't make any such distinction. If there was such a distinction, it should have been said in a Mishnah or a Brisa or something. So we can't say that this Yochol and Natik or Lahavi Etzlai. Now, we did say, we learned a couple of days ago, in the case of a get, there is that consideration of Yochol and Natik or Lahavi Etzlai. If you have a rope, if you have a string tied to the get and he's able to pull it away, then we said that's different because then you don't have Christmas. But other than that, to say that a person picks up one end of something that's Hefker, and because Yochol and Natik or Lahavi Etzlai, therefore that's reason enough to give him a kinyan of the entire thing, even though somebody picked up the other end, no, we don't say that. So therefore, applying that over here, just because one person picked up one end of the Meisera, doesn't mean because Yochol and Natik Lahavia Etzlai, he gets the whole thing, therefore we go back to the answers, therefore we go back to what Rav Ashi said before, that all he's koina is the part that he's holding in his hand, meanwhile the one who's riding on the animal is koina, the part that's on the head of the animal, and the rest remains Hefker and anybody else can take it. So the Gemara says Toshma. Fine, let's bring another proof about what Shmuel is saying. We're still discussing the question of whether a roichev is koin, whether rochev or manhig, when you have two people who are actually both making the animal move, whether the rochev is koin. So far, what we've said is when you have the two of them are roichev, then they're both koin. That's what the Mishnah had said. If echad rochev or echad manhig would mean with one who's rochev is causing the animal to move and the manhig is not. But now we have the other way around. We can have where the rochev is not kicking it with his feet or anything. Only the manhig is moving it. Is the roichev koina anything at all? Shmuel had said that he's not. So we're still working out that thing. So Toshma, Rebbe Eliezer, I'm a rochev basada umanhig ba'ir kona. Rebbe Eliezer says that if a person is riding on an animal in the field, if he finds an animal and he's riding on it in the field but not in the city, then he's koina or manik ba'ir, and as far as leading the animal, that would work in the city or kolshaken basada. How much more so in the field? That's the point. The Rashba actually learns different. But as we're going to see soon in the Gemara, what the difference is between the field and the city. So you see that there's an example of a rochel. No, Toshma, Rebbe Eliezer, Rochel Basada, or Manik Be'ir Kona. We said, Elahod Rababo, Barusi. So we said, what Rababo who said necessarily is Barusi. So the Gemara says, Toshma, Rebbe Eliezer, Rochel Basada, or Manik Be'ir Kona. If a person is riding on an animal in the field, or if he's leading the animal in the city, then he's Kona. According to Rashi, it means there are three out of four possibilities. It means if he's Rochel, according to Rebbe Eliezer, would work only in the fields, not in the city, for reasons that the Gemara is going to explain soon. Manik would work either way. So you see that there's a case where Rochel was koina. So you see a Rochel can be koina. And the answer is, again, Hochnami Manig Baraglov. Again, Rebbe Eliezer is talking about where he's manig with his feet. He's kicking it with his feet and making his move. So Gemara says, Yehochi Hainu Manig. Well, in that case, then that's basically the same thing as manig. Then why would the Braisa be distinguishing between them? Actually, the Tosfos HaRosh says you shouldn't have this question in the Gemara, because the fact is, we're saying there is a difference. One is koina in the city and not in the, and not, and one is koina in the field and not in the city, and the other not. So the Tosfos HaRosh actually takes out these words from the Gemara. But anyway, the question is, and the answer is, Chirei Gavni Manig. Again, there are two kinds of manig. You can talk about manig by pulling on the reins, and you can talk about, manig or pushing it from the back, or whatever, versus you can have rochel, which is kicking it with its feet. So the Gemara says, Yehochi rochel ba'ir my time alaykani. Well, indeed, then why is Rebbe Eliezer saying that if he's riding in the city, he's not koina? Here also, Tosfos says there's a difference of gersois whether we have the words Yehochi in the Gemara. With the words Yehochi, it means if you say that we weren't talking about manig baraglov, then you understand why in the city he's not koina, because it's not even moving because of him. So, and the fact is, when it's moving, it's not moving because of him, because you have all kinds of things in the middle of the road, and therefore it's not moving. But if you say manig baraglov, then it's moving, so then why shouldn't it be koina? So therefore Tosfos is mentioning that if you have the girsa, ihochi, then that sharpens the question of the Gemara, which is, then if you're saying Manig Bernaglov, then why is there a difference between the city and the field? And the answer is, Omer Afhan, Alapishan Dagton, Shemne Adam, Luka Ba'ir, because people don't usually ride in the city because of Tznius. Now we don't mean Tznius, and the Gemara is going to give some exceptions to that. Now we don't mean Tznius. Now, for example, the Gemara tells us in Psachim that women shouldn't ride a stride an animal. They should sit side saddle because of Tznius, so they're not separating their legs. That's a source in Gemara for the concept of women not wearing pants, by the way, because the same thing, you have a separation of their legs, but,
pants means cotton ball cloth.
No, but nevertheless, it's still considered pritzistic, but, so here we're not talking about that, but we're talking about that people, it's not a bakovadika thing to ride a stride an animal in the city. So people don't usually do it, therefore it's not considered a normal method of king.
It's questionable that, women are not allowed to wear pants.
Well, the fact that women are not allowed to wear pants, I was just mentioning that as a side thing. I mean, that's not really the place for that, is in that Gemara in Psachim. But, there were many poskim bring that Gemara in Psachim, where the Gemara mentions over there that even in Psukim, the Gemara only very rarely refers to women riding on animals. Usually you have the word Yoshev, sitting, which implies side saddle, because of Tznius, so her legs are not spread apart. And then, so the poskim derive from that the same idea with pants, where it causes the outline of her, the outline of her legs to be seen, then that would be a problem. I'll be Allah. This isn't the main place to talk about it. But anyway, the point is, here when we're saying a man riding, we're not talking about that kind of tznius. Obviously, men can wear pants, and men can ride an animal. All we mean is, it's not a normal thing to do, because it's not people are usually more private like that. They don't usually go riding around like a cowboy in the city. Right. Yeah, you might bump into people, there might be reasons, whatever. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, Omelet of Ashi, Rav Kahana. So Rav Ashi asks Rav Kahana, so you're telling me that the Kenyan depends on whether it's the normal way of doing things. Elamayata. By that logic, via Arnaki Bashabas. What happens if you pick up a person found a wallet or a money bag on Shabbos and he picked it up? Shein Daukun from the Otomag via Arnaki Bashabas. And it's not normal to do that because it's also, let's say you're talking even though it's an Eruv, but the fact is an Arnaki is Mukta. Hochinami de Lekoni. Are you going to tell me he's not Koina? What's it? The fact is, Elamai de Ovat Ovat. The fact is, okay, he did an Isur, but he's still Koina. Hochinami, the same thing over here. Why should it be different? Mai de Ovat Ovat Rekoni. Whatever he did, the fact is, it may not be normal to ride an animal in the city. Nevertheless, he did. Why shouldn't he be Koina? An interesting side thing that comes up from this point, by the way, is the Oruch HaShulchan says, and there's quite a bit of discussion back and forth about this among the poskim, so can a person acquire a mitzvah on Shabbos? Let's say it's not a money bag. Let's say you're walking down the street on Shabbos and you find a hat, for example. Suppose there's an Eruv, so there's no problem of carrying. Or suppose right away you can just put it on your head and wear it. Would you be allowed to? It's a Kenyan on Shabbos, but maybe it's not a problem because it's not like Mecha Chomemka, you're not buying and selling because there's no Das Acheres involved. So the Oruch HaShulchan points out, you know, you have over here in the Gemara, it's mentioning an Arnaki, a money bag. You don't pick it up on Shabbos because it's Mukta, implying, but if it was something else that was not Mukta, you might be allowed to. And then different Acheronim discuss back and forth and whether in fact that's the case. So anyway, the point is that so Rav Ashi is asking, so what if it's not normal to ride in the street? The fact is that he is riding on the animal. He is causing it to move. Why shouldn't it be a valid opinion? Why is Rav Eliezer saying that if he's riding in the city, he's not going? So El of a Mechachol Memperskinen. Rather, we're not talking about over here Rav Eliezer's case of Rochel Basodo, Manig Ba'ir, is not talking about finding a lost object. He's talking about rather when it comes to buying and selling. So Reuven sold the animal to Shimon. And the Amar Lein, he tells him, Kni k'derach shebnei adam koinin. You acquire this animal in the way that people normally acquire. Well, people don't normally ride in the city. Therefore, when he rides in the city, then he hasn't accomplished a kinyan in the way that people usually do. So in fact, now the Gemara says there are some exceptions to this. The Irish Rosarabim who koinin. If it's in Rishus HaRabim, then he is koinin. Because there, the point is, why would it be that in the city you usually wouldn't ride on the animal? Because you could just as well lead it. You're going to hold on to the reins and you'll walk in front of or next to the animal and make it go. But in Rishus HaRabim, you have so many people walking around all the time, somebody might get in the way. Somebody's going to end up getting in the way between you and the animal, and then you're going to lose control of the reins and the animal is going to run off. So in Rosh Hashanah, it's normal to actually ride on the animal to make sure that it doesn't run away. furthermore, v'i adam choshev bo kani. Furthermore, if he's an important person, so then it's not normal for him to walk and lead an animal with his feet. So therefore, it's more bekavadik, even though we're saying that it's not sneistik usually to ride an animal, but here where he's an adam choshev, it's different. Then it is a normal way, and therefore
he's held on by a woman, right?
So the woman is the next thing. Furthermore, if it's a woman, where it's also not normal for her to lead an animal with the reins, because she's not necessarily strong enough, Rashi explains, the animal might bolt and run off, and she doesn't have the strength necessarily to hold on to the reins. Therefore, it'll be more normal for her to ride on the animal. Rashi says that this applies to all women, although the Rashba brings that there are some who explain that it applies only to an Isha Chashuva. So then also Kanya, then she's also Kona. V'inish Zilahu, and also if he's a very degraded person, also Kani, then he's also Kona, because then it's not a matter of Sneistik, because he doesn't care about Sneistik. So in other words, when would we say it would not work? Would be an Odom Benani, would be an average kind of person. He's neither particularly rich and important, or an Inish Zila, and we're talking about an Asimta, in a side street in the city. That's the kind of thing we're saying it would be normal for him to hold the reins of the animal and lead it or walk with it or whatever, and therefore if he rides on it, he's not Kona. But in all these other cases, we said that yes.
Not being Kona is hard to understand. I mean, my standards, that's exactly the way to do it.
But because that we're talking about where he bought it. The other guy said, be Kona in the way that people are normally Kona. So therefore, it depends on the other person's dance. But yeah. Now you actually have the Marsha points out over here that the Rosh actually has a bit of a different girsa. The Rosh has Marsha says that it seems that the Rosh had a different girsa because the Rosh understands a little bit different. The Rosh writes that what it is. They say the opposite. They say that if it comes out from all Gemara the way we said it. That in Rosh Hashanah, even a Benini is going to be Koine, but in a Simta, in a side street, an Odom Benini will not, only an Odom Choshuv and a woman and so on and so forth. The Rosh seems to say the other way around, so he says evidently he had a different Girsa, and in fact, Agoris HaGura says exactly the Girsa that he would have had, that the Rosh would have had, would have been taking out of the word koni on the first line and the word vav, so therefore we would say, if it's a Rosh Hashanah, then it depends. If he's an important person or a woman or an Inish Zila, then he's Koine. Meaning, in other words, but in a Simta, nobody is going to be Koine, even if they're an Odom Choshev, etc. So the Rosh would be for the Rosh would have a slightly different Girsa in the Gemara, and according to that, it would come out that even an Odom Choshev and or a woman or whatever is only Koine by Shos Rabin, but nowhere else. As opposed to according to the Girsa we have in front of us, anyone can be Koine by riding on the Shos Rabin, and in a Simta, it'll depend whether they're an Odom Choshev, etc. Boy, Rabbi Lozer. Now, Rabbi Lozer asks a question, which is going to be relevant to what we were just discussing before. If Reuven says to Shimon, do meshicha on this animal, in order to acquire the kalim on it. So in other words, he's saying, I'm selling you the kalim, I'm not selling you the animal. You're going to accomplish meshicha on these kalim by doing meshicha with the animal. So does that work or not? So the Gemara says, liknos, mi yomo leknei? What do you mean? When he says liknos, he never said be kona. Liknos would imply, Rashi says, you may mean to be kona, but I'm not machne to you. If he meant for him to actually acquire the kalim, he would have said, do meshicha and be kona the kalim on it. If he says liknos, then it implies that he's saying, you may think that by that you're going to be kona, but you're not. So they say, how could it possibly work? Because the fact is, when he says kni, then he's saying, you be kona. Liknos would imply, you're doing this yeshicha in order to be zoicha in the kalim, but you're not actually, you know, it's not actually going to work. In other words, in effect, the Rosh says it's almost like a sarcastic statement. You're going to do meshicha on this animal. Do you really think you're going to be koina the kalim by it? Lichnes kalim. You think that you can accomplish meshicha on the animal and be koina the kalim? It's not going to work. So what's Rebbe Lozer's question? Ella, rather, Rebbe Lozer's question is meshicha behemazu ukni kalim shalal. What if he says you do meshicha and be koina the kalim on it? The question is, mi mahanya meshicha de behema lak nuri kalim oilo. is the mashicha of the animal enough to be able is the mashicha of the animal enough to acquire the kelim on it or not? In other words, does it work on the basis of kinyan chotzer? So that's the question. In other words, basically, does the animal count as a chotzer?
Does the owner of an animal who draws the animal has to be within the arba amos of the keli that's on the animal?
No, nothing to do necessarily. But Tosfos points out the difference is, in other words, if Reuven had sold Shimon a box, let's say, and he told him, when you move this box, there'll also be kohen or the kelim in it, no question that would work, because the box is only moving because he's pulling it. The question is, an animal, the fact is, even when you're pulling an animal, it's still the fact that it's walking, is it itself is walking. So therefore, that would be the question. Therefore, is that enough to accomplish a kinyan, or would it be, as the Gemara is going to say, it's a chotzer hamalach, it's a walking chotzer, and that doesn't necessarily work. So Omar Rava, e omar like kni behemo kni kalim. So Rava says, after all, you have to consider, what if you had told him, acquire the animal and acquire the kalim, me koni kalim, would that work? How could he be koni the kalim? So in other words, it wouldn't work as kinyan chotzer. Chotzer mahalachasi, the fact is it's a walking chotzer, v'chotzer mahalachas lekona. And a walking chotzer is not koina. Only a chotzer amishtameres is koina, as we're going to learn later on in the parak. And here it's not chotzer amishtameres, because it can walk on its own and can walk away from him. So he's holding on to the reins, but it can still, like we just said, it can bolt, it can still all of a sudden start running, and then he can't hold on to the reins. So it's not considered a chotzer amishtameres. The whole point, where do we learn kinyan chotzer from, is the fact that it says by ganav im himotzi simotzi bi yodei hagneva, and we learn from Baba Kama that it means not only yodei, it means any place that's under his control as much as his hand. So that would exclude a chotzer amalecha. So it would exclude an animal or an eved or whatever like that, which can move of their own volition. So obviously it wouldn't work. You're going to say, you're talking about that after the animal started moving, then it stopped. What do we mean? The fact is that we know a rule that because if it's walking, it wouldn't be kona. Therefore, even when it's standing still, it's also not kona as kinyan chotzer. So Rava is saying, what is the question in the first place? You're assuming, you're talking about, let's say, so Reuven sold Shimon only the kalim, not the animal, and he's saying, you're going to accomplish, you're going to be kona, these kalim, by doing mashicha on the animal. Even if he had actually sold them both, Rava is saying, it wouldn't work to be kona the kalim as a result of moving the animal, because the chotzer amalechas. So how much more so when he's selling them only the kalim and not the animal? So what's Rav Elazar's question?
That should be considered.
How can it possibly be considered? How can it possibly be considered to be a valid kinyan? There's no possible kinyan chotzer involved.
It's moving.
Because it's moving, and even if it's right now, if it's not moving, it's capable of moving, and that's reason enough.
The fact that the behemoth
down. No. So the Gemara says, v'hilchsa b'kfusa. The halacha that was saying that you could be kona the kalim on the animal would be the kfusa is when the animal is tied up. So when the animal is tied up, then yes, then it's a chotzer amishtameres. So now if he sells him the animal and he tells him you be kona the kalim on it, then that would work because now it's a chotzer amishtameres and therefore he can be kona the kalim by kinyan chotzer, but not if the animal is moved. In fact, there are Rishonim who explain that the original question of what the Gemara is saying, the Hilchos of Kusa, is that Rabbi Lazar's original question would be, for example, when the animal was tied up and he tells him, Meshoich Behemazu, he's telling him, like, drag this animal now that's tied up, can't move itself, so you're going to have to drag it, and you'll be kona the kalim on it. Will he be kona or not? And the answer would be that yes, the answer in the end would be that yes, he could be kona that. If it's tied up. Rashi points out, by the way, the Gemara mentions this in various other places. We had this line, for example, in Gittin, and we had it in various other places. Whenever elsewhere in Shas, you have the line that Rava says, "Kol she'ilu mahalach leikoni, umid v'yoshev leikoni," it comes from our Gemara over here. This is the original context in which Rava said it.
She was not getting at him just for this 5 minutes. Can he be?
Well, so then it would be it would be sort of like a matana amanas lahachzu. Yeah, you could be kona things, but again, you have to have it has to be a valid kinyan chotzer, and that requires that the animal is tied up and unable to move. is able to move, then it's called Tzemesh Tameres, and you're back to the problem that we just stated. Okay, so the Gemara continues and derives some halachas from this. So you're telling me then that any time that a chotzer moves, you can't be koyin in it. So the Papa and Rabbuna Bredi Rav Yeshua asked Rava, Elamei Ata, by that logic, Hoya Mahalach B'Sfina, suppose a person is traveling in a boat, B'Kotzu Dog in Menuflo Sech HaSfina, fish jump out of the water and land in the boat, Hochinami D'Chotzu Mahalach HaSi, V'Leikoni, are you going to tell me that that boat is considered a Chotzu Mahalach HaS, and he's not going to be koyin in the fish? Why not? Really, it should be because Rava is talking to the two of them. The difference is the ship, the boat is basically standing still. It doesn't have the ability to move on its own. It's the water that causes it to move. Meaning, in other words, therefore, so would be considered a chotzer, and therefore he would be koneh by virtue of kinyan chotzer, even though the ship is physically moving, because it's not moving by itself, it's the water that's propelling it. Achronim talk about, would you say the same thing, let's say, with a motorboat? And they say, nevertheless, the fact is, even so, it might be considered, the fact is, you don't have an actual person causing it to move. The motor is making it move, and therefore that also would still be considered in the same category as we're saying over here.
The
motor itself is running on its own, so it's similar to an animal. But in other words, we don't necessarily compare it to an animal walking. It still might be considered that basically the boat itself is standing still, and it's the motor that's causing it to move. So Amalei Ravina L'Ravashi. Similarly, Ravina asked Ravashi Elamayata. So again, what about a chotzer mahalachas? What if a woman is walking in Rishos Rabim? The husband throws her the get and it lands in her bosom in a fold of her clothing. Or it falls into the basket where she keeps her knitting and weaving and whatever tools on her head. Which either of those is considered like a chotzer. I was going to say that it doesn't work because it's a chotzer amalachas. The fact is, we know it does work. So he answers him, same idea. Kalosa meinach naicha. The basket is basically staying still. The ihi to come a sagi mitusa. She's walking and therefore causing the basket to move, but the basket is not self-propelling, therefore it's still not considered a chotzer amalachas, and therefore it does work. So only with an animal, where we're saying it has a volition of its own, and it moves on its own, then we're saying that would be a chotzer amalachas. And eved would be the same thing. In Gittin, for example, we learned about the case where the husband gives the get to an eved of a woman while he's sleeping and tied up and whatever, and she's standing there and watching him, then it works because it's a chotzer amashtameras. But if the eved is moving, then it wouldn't work.
Why again is a woman who's moving not a chotzer amalachas?
Because the get is going into her basket. The basket is not a chotzer amalachas because the basket is not moving on its own. So she's not koneh by it landing in her hand. She's koneh by it landing in her basket. And that's fine. The basket itself we consider as though it's standing in place and she's just moving the same way as we said a boat moving in the water is being moved by the water. The same here, the basket is being moved by her.
What happens if it falls on her shoulder or anywhere else of her body?
So if it falls, so we said the other example is if it falls into cheka. We said if it falls into her bosom, into a fold of her garment, then that would also work. There maybe it's not a matter of chotzer. There maybe it's a matter of that it's actually maybe because the clothes are toffle to her, I don't know, but the basket is not necessarily toffle to her, it would be koina on the basis of kinyan chotzer, and we're saying it is considered a chotzer that stands still.
Even if the basket is on her head?
Even if that's what we're talking about, the basket is on her head, obviously if she has the basket sitting on the ground, then there's no question in the first place, yeah.
No, if the basket is in her hand.
Oh, it's in her hand. The pashto is the same thing, because again, the basket doesn't have any ability to move on its own. It's only moving because she's walking. The normal way of carrying such baskets was on her head, which is why the Gemara is mentioning that example. Okay. Mishnah says, we'll start the Mishnah and then some of the Gemara over here.
But one second before you move on.
Yes.
If someone goes from one rishus to another, that's considered, on Shabbos, is considered carrying. So obviously, The chatzer itself has
we're not talking about kinyan chatzer. Here we're focusing on kinyan chatzer. Shabbos is something else. You're taking out from one rishus to another. No question. If a person carries something on Shabbos on their head in a way that's normal to carry on their head, then yes, they're chayim. The fact is they were motzi mershus l'rishus in the normal way. We don't care over there about whether about the definition of the chotzer or whatever. The fact is he carried from one rishus to another. Here that we're talking about a matter. Here we're talking about a matter of kinyanim, and therefore, and again, where do we learn the whole concept of chotzer? It's from Yodai, and therefore, just like Yodai asked me mishtameres, that he has exclusive control over where his hand goes, the same way a chotzer has to be, he has exclusive control over where it goes, as opposed to an animal or an eved or what have you, where he does not have that exclusive control. So again, we're saying...
Which is different from the case of Shabbos.
Yeah, exactly. And in the case of the woman with her basket, again, she exercises exclusive control where that basket is going, because wherever she goes, the basket goes with her. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mishnah says, a person is riding on an animal, the raw samatsia, he sees a matsia lying on the ground, he says to somebody else who's walking with him, give that to me. So, Nutla, now the other person picks it up, the Omer, and he says, Aniza Chisiba, look, I was Magbiyah, therefore I made a kinyan in it, Zochaba. Then yeah, he's Zoycha in it, and therefore he gets to keep it. The other guy told him to pick it up. Doesn't matter. The fact is, he's the one who did the kinyan. The one who saw it is not Poyna. A bot of a hefker is not Poyna, which is a point that we're going to take up at the end of the Masechet. But if after he gave it to him, Omar, he says, you know what, the fact is, I was zeichet at first, then what he said doesn't count for anything, because Rashi explains, even if we say, even if we say he has the ability by picking it up to acquire it on behalf of the other guy, but once he gave it to the even if we say loy kona chaveri, rather, even if we say the other person is not kone, meaning at this point, meaning before he gave it to him, conceivably we could say, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara, that maybe neither one was kone yet. Ruven, because Ruven picked it up because he didn't intend to acquire it, and Shimon because he didn't actually pick it up. But once Ruven gives it to Shimon, who's riding on the animal, then Manafshah, he's acquiring it. Either Reuven was koneh and then gave it the matana to Shimon, or to begin with, Reuven was not koneh, but now Shimon picked it up, and therefore he was koneh. So one way or the other, so now he says, but you know what, I was zeichen at first, I want it back, loya maklum, then what he said doesn't count for anything, and Shimon, who's riding on the animal, is entitled to keep the thing. So the Gemara says, we're going to bring a Mishnah from Masechet Peah and compare it with our, and eventually we're going to compare it with our Mishnah and see what principles in Halacha we can derive. So Tnanha, so we learn in a Mishnah in Masechet Peah. Misha Likit Sapeah. A person collected payah, which is left for poor people, but Omar Harezu Leploini Oni, and he says, I want this payah to be reserved for Ploini the Oni. Now the point is the point is when it comes to payah, when it comes to some of the matnas aniyim, the balabas has Rashi points out, when it comes to the owner of the field himself, even if he himself is poor, even if he himself meets the definition of a poor person in halacha, he's not allowed to collect payah from his own field. When it comes to other matnas aniyim, sometimes we say a person himself is an oni, then he's entitled to keep it for himself. But here, that's not the case. So we have to be talking about that it's a third party. You have Reuven's field, Shimon is collecting pay over there, and he's saying, I'm collecting it on behalf of Levi. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer Zocholer, Rabbi Eliezer says that works, and Levi now acquires that pay. And the Chum say, no, Shimon has to give it to whatever oni comes first. He can't be zoicha for somebody else, so therefore it goes to whichever oni comes there first. So Oma Ola Omer Rabbi Shrovan Levi, Machloikas me Osher L'Oni. The Machloikas is when Shimon was rich and not able to get payah for himself, and Levi is poor. The Rabbi Eliezer Sava, so Rabbi Eliezer says, Migodi boy mafkur nichse bahava oni, since conceivably Shimon could be mafkur as nechosim and become poor, v'chozile, and therefore the payah would be suitable for him, hashdanami chozile, therefore now it is also considered already that he has the ability to be zoche in this payah, and furthermore, migodi zochi nafshi, zochi nam lo nafshi, zochi nam lo chavre, and once he's able to be zoche in it for himself, namely once he could have conceivably made it, put himself in a position to be zoicha for himself, zochi nami lachavri, and then he's able to be zoicha for Levi. That is the mechanism by which Rabbi Eliezer says that Levi is koneh that pay. Rabbanon Sabi, Chad Nigger Aminin, Tre Nigger Le Aminin. The Chum say no, you can only say one Nigger, not two. It would be one thing to say that, that if, it would be one thing to say if Shimon himself was poor and he could be Zoicha in it for himself, therefore he could be Zoicha for Levi, but not to go so far as to say because Shimon could be Machger as Nechosin. And then on top of that, that even now, before he's Machger as Nechosin, that he should be able to be Koinen on behalf of Levi, the Chum say you can't do that. But Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, when it's from one poor person to another, when both Shimon and Levi are poor, then Divrei Hakol Zochalai, then everybody would agree that he could acquire it for Levi, Demigre Zochalai Nafshi, Zochalai Melechavrei, because once he's able to be Zoicha for himself, then he's able to be Zoicha for somebody else. One Migre, even the Chachamim say, you could say, so that would work. Omelet Rab Nachman La'ula, the Lema Ma'am Oni La'oni Machlokas, but Rab Nachman asks Ula, why are you assuming that we're talking about that the case of the Machlokas is a rich versus a poor person, and you're saying Rabbi Eliezer says you can do two Migos and the Chum say you can't? Instead, why don't you understand that Mishnah in Peah saying that both of them are talking an Oni, and the question is whether one can be Zosha for the other? On Aniyam Ezla. After all, when to Metzia, everybody is considered poor, right? Because everybody is entitled to a Metzia, so it's not like a Peah where only certain people are entitled to it. Utnan, and yet our Mishnah said, Hoyo Rechem Agabe Behema, Veras Metzia Va'amal Chaver Tzneli, not Va'amal Nizach Yisiba. And if Ruben, and if he picks it up and says, I was Zoicha in it, then he's Zoicha. Now, Rashi explains, Rab Nachman's question is based on the idea that he's saying, when he says Anizah Chisiba, means I agree to begin with, I picked it up having you, Shimon, in mind. But now I'm changing my mind before having given it to you, Shimon, and I decide I want to be Zoicha in it myself. Well, if we say, then Shimon should have acquired it at the moment that Reuben picked it up off the ground. And yet we're saying, Zochaba. So we're saying that he was Zoicha in it. So we see, in other words, Rav Nachman understands that the first part of the mission, and now the second part of the mission is talking about after he gave it to Shimon, he wants to make a claim. But here in the first part of the mission, we're saying that he picks it up, having in mind to acquire it for Shimon. Then before he gives it to Shimon, he says, you know what, ani zochi siba, and the mission is saying, zoicham. So, So Rav Nachman continues, if you're going to say that in the Mishnah in Peah, you're talking about that both of them are aniyim, and you're saying that the Chachamim are saying that one ani can't be zoicha for the other at all, then our Mishnah would be according to the Chachamim. And we would say he's not Zoicha for somebody else. Therefore, when Reuben picks it up off the ground, Shimon is not acquiring it automatically, only when Reuben gives it to him. Therefore, as long as Reuben is holding it, he has the ability to say, you know what, I changed my mind and I want to be koine it for him myself. So therefore, that would fit with the Mishnah in Peah, that Shimon, therefore, has acquired this Peah on behalf of himself, and if he doesn't want it, then he gives it to some other oni, not necessarily to Levi. But if you tell me that the Mishnah in Peah is talking about a case of an Osher and an Oni, but when they were both Aniyim, then he would acquire it for him, Palmani, then the question would be, who is our Mishnah like? Loi Rabbanan v'loi Rabbi Eliezer. Our Mishnah would seem to not work according to either the Rabbanan or Rabbi Eliezer, because either one would agree, if he was going to say that the Machloikas in Peah is not in the case of Oni La'oni, our Mishnah is a case of Oni La'oni, because they're both considered Aniyim relative to the Metziah, and yet the Mishnah seems to be implying that Reuven, as soon as he picks it up, is not automatically acquiring it for Shimon. So then neither Rabbi Eliezer nor the Chachamim would be saying that, because Rabbi Eliezer would be saying an Osher to an Oni can acquire, and certainly an oni to an oni. The Chum would say an oni to an oshu to an oni cannot acquire, because we don't say the double migui, but an oni to an oni could. And yet in our Mishnah, we see he's not being machnet, because when Reuven picks it up, he still has the ability, until he gives it to Shimon, to say, I want to keep it for myself. So why are you explaining the Mishnah in Peah the way that you're explaining it in the name of Rabbi Shlomo Levi, that we're talking about an oni and an oshu, then that causes a problem with our Mishnah. Amalei. So all the answer is Masnisin de Omer Tchila. Because in the Mishnah, we're not talking about where to be. We're not talking about where to begin with. He said, "I'm picking it up for you," and then he changed his mind. It means to begin with, when he first picks it up, he says, "I'm picking it up for myself." So it would work if he had in mind to begin with to acquire it for Shimon. But when he says to begin with, Rashi explains tchila means he says, when I first picked it up, I had myself in mind. So not like, in other words, Reb Nachman was assuming that it meant that he's saying, when I picked it up, that Reb Nachman was assuming, the case of the Mishnah is that Reuven is saying, when I first picked it up, yes, I had you in mind, Shimon. However, now I change my mind and I decide I want to keep it for myself. And that was Reb Nachman's question. Ula is answering that no. Reuven picks up the item and he says, you should know what? From when I picked it up, I intended to keep it for myself. Therefore, the Mishnah is saying that he's cutting it. Rabbi Hananel actually explains it slightly differently. It means that to begin with, before he even picks it up, he says that I'm picking it up for myself. So therefore, so he's cutting it. we'll continue over Shabbos, Beis Hashem, and we'll continue this discussion. It comes out in the end that we're going to have the machlokas, which is, again, we started on this the other day, about Hamagbiya Matzila Chaveri, Kona Chaveri. Does it work when Reuven picks up something, having in mind to acquire it for Shimon? Does it work or not? The other day we said Romi Bachoma says yes, and Rava says no. So here we have that, Rav Nachman, and as the Gemara is going to go on to say, Rav Chista as well, hold that not. Then we're going to have at the very end, before the Mishnah, we're going to have that Rabbi Yochanan says that it does. So we'll work that out in the continuation of the Gemara Beis Hashem.
When he has in mind two or more people, does that work?
So then the Pashtus, those two or more people are koineh, each koineh a portion of it, I guess. If we say, keep in mind, if we say that loy kona chaver, then there's nothing to talk about.
Well, one does not necessarily force the other. I mean, you could say that if it works for one, it doesn't necessarily work for two or three or more.
No reason why not. I mean, the reason why we would say it doesn't work is because tofas l'bal chov makom shechav la'acherim, as we discussed the other day, and as the Gemara is going to talk about in the continuation of the Gemara. But the fact remains, no matter how many people he's acquiring it for, there are always more people out there who could conceivably have been koneh this matzia and who would be considered bali chov in this connection. So I don't know of any reason. I mean, if there's something about it in the poskim, then fine. But as far I can't with my das bala bias, at least I can't see any reason to distinguish whether he means to acquire it for one person or for many people.
There's one good reason, because the Mishnah says the Chaveri, and it doesn't say
that
the Chavera.
The Mishnah is saying Chaveri, because that would be the normal situation.
Well, what's normal is